Well, you probably gather from the reading, John chapter 10, and from the hymns I've chosen, the theme this morning is this question of God, Christ being a shepherd. It's a very common theme in Scripture. The Bible is based very heavily upon the agricultural scene, and many illustrations and parables and so on use this notion of the shepherd or working the land or whatever it may be. My text, of course, is not, as I said, John chapter 10. But let me read a few more scriptures, and none of these are my text either, but just to show you that it is a common theme. You needn't turn it up. You can if you want. I'll give you the reference. It's Isaiah 40:11. That's, I'll read that. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Then, of course, you have Luke 15. People remember, don't they, Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. I think there's only one parable, actually, in Luke 15. It's three different illustrations: a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. Actually, there's four pictures. There's the lost elder brother, too. But I remind you, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Just a couple more, but you can go on and give a score, I'm sure, if you looked in the concordance. 1 Peter, I'll just read a couple of verses from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 25. You were a sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Or about chapter 5, and verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. Many, many such places. But there's one text, isn't there? Which one? There's one text in the Bible that probably everybody knows that must speak about the shepherd. Now, come on, what's my text this morning? Well, it's Psalms 23. Psalm 23. Well, of course it is. Psalm 23. Let me just read Psalm 23 to you. I'm not very comfortable, really, at sort of preaching texts that everybody knows so well. What can I say upon these texts? But that's the glory of the gospel. There is nothing new. It's just an old tale. I don't mean by that a story. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But all I want to do this morning is just take the opening line and ramble on a few remarks from those first few words. The Lord is my shepherd. That's my text. The Lord is my shepherd. Now you understand, don't you? I just explain in case you don't, but I'm sure you do. That in the Middle East, in Africa, I've seen it myself, shepherding is not quite the same as shepherding in England or in the United Kingdom. I'm no shepherd, but I do a bit of hill walking, and I've seen shepherds in their business, and I've seen sheep out, and this is what I've seen anyway. It seems to me that the shepherd in England drives his sheep. I don't mean to say cruelly, but he's behind them following the sheep. He's driving them with his dogs. Well, that's what I've seen. He gathers them down from the hills and he drives them along the track back to the farm. They're ahead, but the dog's running and keeping them in order. I don't mean any nasty sense, that's just the way he does it. I'm amazed at his skill and ability. I'm fascinated by it. I stand and watch him as he's doing it, gathering them in. Whistling away there, and the dog's running and catching the sheep and never biting them and anything like that, but just bringing them home. But I've also seen shepherds in the Middle East, well, not in Africa, and it's quite different. The shepherd's in front and he's just wandering, well, no, he's not wandering, he's walking on, and the flock is following behind. Because if you don't see that, you don't understand that, you get the wrong impression, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me," and that's exactly what they do. And there's another difference too, I've noticed. There is a mixed herd or flock. In England you can have mixed things, but they're usually sheep. But I've seen in Africa that it's sheep and goats. And again, that picture comes over and over and over in the pictures of the Bible about the sheep. The shepherd, he's got sheep and goats. But all parables break down. All pictures break down. The sheep and the goats in real life equally belong to the shepherd, and they're his, and he's making the best of them for them and getting the best out of them. But in the picture in the Bible, of course, Christ particularly draws a big distinction between sheep and goats. Of course, the parable breaks down, but Jesus is not worried when he gives this picture about the parable breaking down, as long as I get the point. And over again he tells us there are sheep and there are goats. And the goats, although in real life they belong to the shepherd, are not in the spiritual meaning of what he's trying to say, what he is saying to us. The goat does not belong to the shepherd. Let's cut the picture. There are those who are true, genuine believers who follow and obey and love and trust above all. Trust the Lord Jesus. They are sheep. My sheep hear my voice and so on. They follow me. But the goats, they may seem to be following me, but they do not really follow me. The parable breaks down, I say it again. There are those who are sheep and those who are goats. Now this morning I'm speaking about the Lord is my shepherd. And therefore it's essential, before we get into just those few words, to make quite sure that we understand what we are talking about. We're talking of someone, David is the psalmist here. But we're talking, these are the words uttered by somebody who wants Christ to be his shepherd. Because in the Old Testament, the Lord God... But the parable moves over, the picture moves over in the New Testament, and I think I'm justified in saying that Christ, God, Christ, I don't care how we put it, but here is a man who wants, who takes, who receives, who knows that God, Christ, is the shepherd. And I try to make it a practice. I know it runs contrary to a lot of modern preaching. I don't stand this morning to say the Lord is my shepherd and make no division or distinction. My friend, these words only apply to me, only apply to you, if you know and you are really one of these sheep. I mean, I don't know what the policy is in your house, but it's been a policy in my house ever since I can remember. If a letter comes through the door and it's addressed to Mr. Fred Smith, whatever his name is, Mr. Fred Smith opens it and reads it. It's Mr. Fred Smith's letter. I know there can be exceptions. We're not going to get silly about it. But the fact is, that letter, whatever it says, is Mr. Fred Smith, whatever his name is, isn't it? If Mr. Tom Brown reads it and takes whatever it's meant to say to Fred Smith, he may be misapplying it altogether. It may not apply to him at all. Sometimes you get a shock. If he's getting fined by the police for driving too fast, he might wish he hadn't opened it. The point I'm trying to say, without being silly, if this "the Lord is my shepherd," it belongs to those who are the sheep. It does not belong to those who are not the sheep. I mean, that would seem obvious to me. What am I saying? The words we have this morning are exceedingly comfortable, more comforting than I can possibly say or explain to you, or even feel. I feel the inadequacy of it. I said this text is so familiar. What can I say new? What can I say that would be any use to you? Just to repeat the thing. But whatever I do say, and whatever the text does me, and whatever you got out of the hymns about the shepherd and the sheep, whatever you got out of some of these texts, only applies to you if you have this relationship, this experience with Christ. If you don't have that, then your concern is to receive Christ as your shepherd. That's your business. But I hope the reading of that psalm, and the reading of these other passages, and the singing of these hymns have done you some good. I remember several years ago, a man, a friend, who used to attend my preaching at times, years before, but he eventually came to be dying of cancer. And in the last few weeks, months, or whatever it was, weeks of his life, I visited him fairly often. And as so often happens with funerals, the funeral is not quite what the person who died wanted. Perhaps you haven't noticed that. But quite often, in my experience, what happens at funerals is not really what the man or the woman wanted. Whether they don't make it clear enough, I don't know. But this man died. Now, if they had asked me to take his funeral, and I'd have been very pleased to do so, I know what I would have preached. Because more than once we'd had conversation, and he in fact repeated by heart Psalm 46. The Lord is our refuge. And I think I would have taken that. Anyway, the arrangements were made and it moved in another direction altogether. But they did ask me if I would do something in the service, take part, and I was pleased to do so. And they asked me if I would read Psalm 23. Now, that's all right, but this man, Fred, that was not the psalm we talked about. I was quite happy to read it, and I prayed about it because I wanted to read it to the best of my ability and with the blessing of God upon it, that it might be a blessing to somebody in the congregation, just the reading of Scripture. Well, it happened there was a Jewish man in the congregation. He'd been befriended in the war by this family, by this man, either he or his father and whatever, and afterwards, I understand, he said to the family, "How much you've been blessed," and I was glad to hear it, by the reading of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." So if you get nothing else out of what I say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Is he your shepherd, my friend? I hope he is. If he's not, settle it now. You say, "I don't know what to say." Well, there's one thing you could say: "Lord, be my shepherd." Whatever this bloke is talking about, whatever David meant, be that to me. You see, you haven't got to get it right for Jesus. Jesus isn't setting a theological exam, you see. You've got to get so many marks to get the Alpha or the Beta, whatever it is, or the 10 out of whatever grades you get at school. I don't know what you get these days. You don't have to pass exams for Jesus. You get it all wrong. He just wants your heart, my friend. "Lord, be my shepherd. Be whatever I need. Be my Saviour." Not next week, now. I pray for Mr. Rimes, so I hope he'd be a blessing, but I wouldn't mind if it was a blessing this morning. I wouldn't complain. This might be the poorest sermon you ever hear. But if it was a time when actually, and I'll leave this subject now, but if it was a time when you actually took Christ as your shepherd, you knew he was your shepherd, and you began to follow him, you might say it was the lousiest, smallest, feeblest sermon I ever heard. But, you know, you'll remember this date for the rest of your life and forever. Those who were alive will know where you were when John Kennedy died, won't you? Yes, you will. Yes, we all know. Well, my friend, there's a more important day than that. If this is the day when the Lord becomes your shepherd, you'll remember this day. And we'll talk about it again when we meet. Of course, if you are going to be a sheep, you've got to recognize some of the bad things about sheep. I think it's Thomas Hardy, isn't it? Thomas Hardy says, one of his characters says, sheep are troublesome creatures. They're silly creatures, aren't they? They get lost. As I say, I go hill walking a bit. And this is what I've noticed. In the autumn I go, and in the spring. And in the autumn I see the men, bringing down their sheep. And it's tremendous to see it. I am really amazed how they're bringing them down. But you know, and then the sheep, then the hills are all bare of sheep, I mean, all bare. But you go in a bit later and you'll find dotted about an odd sheep or two. And I've wondered about it. I haven't talked to any farmer, but my guess is that the dogs have gone looking for them, but they're such massive moors. I know they're very small in this country, but they're still massive. The poor old sheep is in some little gully somewhere, and he doesn't hear the whistle, and he doesn't see the sheep, he doesn't see the dog, and he stays there. He's just lost. And I came across this last week. I was out walking and I came across a carcass. I'm afraid the winter is too strong for some of them. He should have been down. Oh yes, sheep are troublesome creatures. Jesus said about one getting lost, wandering. Sheep are foolish creatures, aren't they? Driving all over the place. I mean, I won't go into it, but my friend, a lot of people don't want to become thought of as sheep. They're a bit too big for that. People can be too big for Jesus, but never too little. I'm a wandering sheep. Well, let me turn to the believers here who feel they know they are the sheep of Christ. You know you're a troublesome creature, don't you? You know you're often in trouble too. I've been lost on the hills. I don't know what these sheep feel like. They seem all right about it, but to me, it must be a very frightening thing. It must be dark up there at night and cold. What does a shepherd do? Let me just give a few rambling remarks. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's just think about all the words. How about shepherd to start with? Now, what does a shepherd do for his sheep? What will Jesus do for me? Well, let's get back to the Middle East again and think about this desert business. Well, I've seen them there, and I expect you have. It's very dusty. I mean, you've seen these films now with Libya. And it's pretty dusty out there, isn't it? And pretty dry, isn't it? You know, you start off in the morning, these sheep walking, and they're goats, and they're just walking across the sand. It's a good job the shepherd knows where the next patch of water is, isn't it? Because if he doesn't, within about 3 or 4 hours, half a dozen hours, there's going to be an awful lot of trouble. Have you ever thought about the Israelites going through the wilderness? Where are they going to find the next batch of water? Where? I mean, I know it comes from Tesco today and you can get a bottle of water. It wasn't like that. And it isn't like that in these deserts. The shepherd knows where the next patch of water is. But it's not only water, I need some grass too, don't I, if I'm a sheep. There isn't much grass out there. But he knows where the next bit is. And it's his job to make sure I get there. And he leads me. And he directs me. Is there anything for you, my brother and sister? I'm talking to believers now. Is there anything for you in this? And are you willing to take the place of the sheep? You know, Lord, I don't know where it is next. I don't know the next state. I don't know where the next resting place is. But I know you know, because the Lord is my shepherd. You know, a lot of silly town people think farm. I mean, I dare say there are some cruel farmers. I don't know any. But if a farmer is cruel to his animals, he's just cruel to himself. His best interest is to get his creatures as healthy and as happy as possible. I know the town folk think he's being rough and nasty and all the rest of it, but his best interest is served. His own best interest is served in looking after his flock. I will lay down my life, says Jesus, for the flock. I love them so much. Don't you think the picture comes of guidance, protection? There's an awful lot of enemies to sheep out there. I see it every time I go. Keep your dog on a lead, nesting time, lambing time. Keep your dog on a lead, keep your dog on a lead, oh yeah. They worry the sheep. They chase the sheep. They frighten the sheep. Sheep are easily frightened. Well, I know what that is. Perhaps you don't, but I do. What frightens me? Oh, if I started telling you, you'd be surprised. All sorts of things frighten me. He feeds the sheep. He defends the sheep. He guides the sheep. He rules the sheep. He loves the sheep. And more than any earthly shepherd, what did Jesus say? Surely this is the climax. I lay down my life for my sheep. What does Psalm 23 say? What do we sing in our hymns? He restores the sheep. If the sheep gets lost, he goes looking for the sheep. Perhaps you see this morning, I don't know, do I? This is one of the advantages of being an itinerant man like me just coming. I know some of you, of course, but I don't know your condition really, do I? So there might be somebody here this morning who is a genuine sheep. Oh yes, genuine believer, and you've been one for a long time. But just for the last few weeks, months or years, I don't know, you've been wandering a bit. And you've been getting lost a bit. Do you think Jesus said, well, I'll wash my hands of them then? That's the end of it. No, he goes looking for them. And he'll leave the 99 until he finds the one. And he says, I found it. Is there anybody here this morning that Jesus is going to find? I spoke to those who are not sheep, didn't I? Now I'm speaking to sheep who might be lost. He restoreth my soul. There's the dark valley too. Have you noticed the world says about us that we don't face the difficult things? We run away from them. It's a little claptrap. Here it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. The shepherd is ahead of me. He knows the way I'm taking. Now I know what I'm doing tomorrow. I've got my day sort of planned out. I haven't a clue, my friend. I think I know my day tomorrow. I think I know my day this afternoon and this evening. But we don't know yet. We don't know what a day may bring forth. I made it in my prayer, didn't I? Our times are in his hand. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll get off this. I must get off because it got on the rest of the verses. Shepherd, is there anything here for a believer this morning? Lord, I'm glad you're my shepherd. I need assurance. I need guidance. I need to know the next step. No, I need you to take me the next step. I know you to take me there. I know you won't send me on without going ahead. I know you'll always be with me. Even if it's the darkest valley this week, I know you'll be with me. How about the Lord is my shepherd? How about that one? The Lord. It's big L, big O, big R, big D in my Bible. You see, when we start writing these words down, we're struggling with a big difficulty. We're trying to capture the infinite in four little letters. It's not a difficult job, it's impossible. What's in the word Lord? Is he not the creator of the universe? Now, I haven't got telly, but I was away this week, and the room I was hiring, the bed and breakfast, they did have a telly, and I saw the program on gravity this week by Professor Brian Cox. I think his name is Brian Cox. Don't know if you saw it. I did physics university, but it still left me a bit, you know, but yeah, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. It's absolutely impossible. I mean, the words he was using about billions of galaxies or stars, it was just God who made that is my shepherd. Now that puts the difficulties in a bit of perspective, doesn't it? I've got this problem. But this God, the Lord,
He made all those galaxies.
And strangely enough, I had in mind to write a little tract, and Professor Cox gave me some ideas, actually, to add to what I was thinking. I mean, you understand this, don't you, that the spring is coming now, the sun's getting warmer. Actually, it's because we're getting slightly closer to the sun now. We don't go around in a circle, but we go around and it's all twisting about. It's a bit complicated, more than a bit. But actually what it is, we're a bit closer to the sun at the moment. In a few weeks' time, we'll be even closer and we'll hardly be able to breathe. It'll be so hot. Of course, a few weeks ago, we were just a little further away from the sun and it was so cold we could hardly breathe. It was so cold. Have you ever thought, my friend? I did hear on the radio some time ago, three people talking with Mr. Bragg. And they thought it was a remarkable thing, you know. And they made this observation. If we were just a little closer to the sun, we would fry. But if we were just a little further away from the sun, we should be icebergs. Yeah, that's a real coincidence, isn't it? And, you know, that's a real fluke, isn't it? Well, you can believe it's a fluke if you want. But I admire the wisdom and the power that put me just in the spot where it got so cold. Ooh, but it got so hot, but I can bear it. A bit closer, a bit further away, and I shouldn't be here at all. This God is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. If you saw Mr. Cox talking, he was talking about gravity. I thought about that, walking up the hills, you know. Do you know, it's pretty hard work for me, walking up these hills these days. It's getting harder. This gravity business, if it was a bit more, I shouldn't do it. But if it was a bit less, this Bible would be all over the place, wouldn't it? Isn't it a bit of a fluke that it's just so right the Bible will stay there, and I can stand up and I can just about manage. Isn't that good? My friend, this God's got it spot on, hasn't he? And this God is my shepherd. Have you ever thought, if the earth didn't spin, we should either be 24 hours solid sun, or 24 hours solid night? But it spins round, so we get roughly 12 hours. Remarkable. This God is my God. This shepherd is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's in control of history. He's in control of time. He's in control of all things. You say, well, where was God in that great earthquake? God was showing his power, my friend. We'll talk about the consequences of that, and if you want to me, I'll take a text on it. The Lord create evil. We can have a look at that text if you like. But there's some tremendous power there. People used to laugh, you know, I think, about when it said God dissolving the earth and so on. But they don't laugh so much now with all these tremendous bombs they've got in this earthquake. The waves, I mean, what was the water coming out of that wave? 500 miles an hour out at sea? I think that was it. I think that was right. And when it gets to the land, it's down to about 50. That's why it piles up so high. Tremendous power, isn't it? And that's just moving a few plates. What would it be like when the heavens and the earth are shaking, and this God is my God? People can dismiss him if they want. But I'll rejoice with David and say, the Lord, this Lord, this God is my shepherd. How about the word is? It's only a little word, but it's a sight better than will be. Will be very wonderful. Now that'd be marvellous. Oh, God will be my shepherd. I can't get there, but I don't know what. No, is. It's better than was. That was lovely. God was my shepherd yesterday. God has been my shepherd up to now. He will be my shepherd in the future. That's lovely. No, my friend, the best of all is he is. Is. I do not know. I mean, I might know one or two, but I do not know your circumstances. Perhaps you don't know them altogether yourself. I don't know what cares and concerns you've got as a child of God. But I will say this to you. The Lord is your shepherd now, in those circumstances. I do not know what you're going home to. Perhaps you don't. I don't know what you'll get up to tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come. I don't know, nor do I know for you, nor me. But the Lord is. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. There's only one left.
My.
I don't know if I said to you before, I'm very much against this modern tendency we live in, you know, of self-centeredness. You know, it's all around me, isn't it? It's awful. But on this matter, my friend, I would make you as self-centered as I possibly can. What do you mean? It's no good saying, you know, and I would say to you young children, it's no good saying, Mum and Dad, this is true for Mum and Dad. It may be, that's good. My friend, but for you young children, it's not good enough. It's got to be my shepherd. I know he's my mum's, I know he's my dad's. So you older people could say the same. Oh, no, my mother, yes, she was a fine believer, and the Lord was her shepherd. No, my friend, it's got to be yours. Yours. Mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. I would have you say, I don't care if it's his or hers at the moment, so long as it's mine. You say, I don't like that. Yes, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you go to the doctors tomorrow and he tells you, I got a cure for Mrs. Bloggs, that's no good, is it? I mean, that's wonderful for Mrs. Bloggs, but you want the cure, don't you? You haven't gone there for Mrs. Bloggs, have you? You've gone there for yourself. This religion business, this gospel business, this Lord Shepherd's business, whatever we're talking about, it's all very well. It was Spurgeon's or Calvin's or Luther's or wherever we want to talk about. Very nice too. No, my friend, it's got to be mine. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't let's talk about we and us. Don't let's talk about they and them. Let's talk about me. Don't let's sing the Lord's our shepherd. That's true. Okay. Don't let's say the Lord's their shepherd. Yeah, that's good. That's very nice. The Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. You say, well, we're in a congregation, so we have to sing in the plurals. Well, there is an element of truth in that. But let's forget we're in a congregation now, my friend. Let's think we're on our own. And we are on our own in a sense. This is not a general text for all, is it? It's for me. The Lord is my shepherd. Is that what you're going to take home? I hope I am. I hope I'm going to take it home. I know it's been about the merest ramble through a text, but it's on your mind, my friend. You know the text where I came. The Lord is my shepherd. Is mine. The Lord. Shepherd. You could preach it for yourself. You could do better than me. You could take a concordance down and look up the word shepherd. You could take your hymn book open and find the shepherds. You can open your Bible and read the text. You can think about this text. The Lord is my shepherd. The valley of death. Shadow of death. Darkness. Still waters. Eternal joy. Table spread before me. Enemies. Oh, it's all there. It's all there. It's all conjured up in. The Lord is my shepherd. Lloyd-Jones, as you probably know, the great preacher who died 30 years ago, his custom was, after the service, he would always be willing for anybody to talk to him. And one day a lady came to him as a headmistress, and she had her problem. She said, I cannot face the children in the morning. Well, I've stood in front of several hundred children, I can tell you, it's a bit daunting. And she was frightened to death. So he said, well, what have you done about it? So she said, well, I keep saying to myself, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. But it doesn't seem to work. Now, I've forgotten where he put the emphasis. She might have said, the Lord is my shepherd. No, he said, say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I can't remember. And I'm glad I can't remember, because my advice to you is rather different. Say it over and over, my friend, but emphasize every word in turn. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it, my friend, until it's true. May God give us grace to appreciate it more and more. Well, we'll close our last hymn. I don't think it's got the word shepherd in it. But our last hymn, I don't think. But it's on the theme, the leader of faithful souls. Number 727. Leader of faithful souls and guide of all that travel to the sky.